God said, you personally, you live in the moment. You live in a moment that I have given you. For you're not going to understand, nor do you know what's going to happen the next moment of your life. But I want you to know this. If you know my son as Lord and Savior, I got you. See, that's all I need to know. I got you. Now, problems, trials, and tribulations are going to come. God said, I'm going to give you rules of engagement for each problem in your life. But you can't handle all the problems at the same time. It doesn't work that way when you're praying. Oh, Lord, and please, just go ahead and take care of all the problems that was going to come later on so I won't have to mess with them. Problems get you closer to God. Troubles and trials bring you closer to God. God lets you know that He loves you. And there will never be a time that He won't show up when that problem hits. But it's all in a moment. In a twinkling of an eye, it happens. Tragedy, brokenness, hurt, pain, fearfulness, loneliness, and that subconscious, that driving you crazy, letting you know you can't do this, you can't do that. That's Satan whispering his voice, oh, give up and quit. Why, you can't do that. I can do anything that God says I can. Mm-hmm. But I won't experience it if I don't show up for it. If there is a battle to be fought, I can't see God be victorious over that battle in my life if I don't show up to see it. I can't kill my senses with all the drugs or anything else to keep me from feeling it. Oh, there's not enough of them out there. And the body can't handle it. And God said, so listen to me. The battles of life, your life. Again, God makes everything personal for you. When He talks about the battles of life, He's making it personal to you of the battles that you're going to have in your life. Rule number one. Randy tells you that I say this all the time. I do, because it's rule number one. You must love each other. Now, when I'm talking about loving each other, that love must go to the depth for you to understand that when you love one another, when you love each other, when that one hurts, you hurt. When the one you love is in pain, you're in pain. So love connects you to the hurt. But it also connects you to the joy, to the excitement, to their victories in life. There are no small victories. All of them are great. Because they're victories. Each little step. But look at me. I have no hope. Well, that goes against everything God teaches. He said everyone has hope. You know how He knew that? He is the hope. You know how He knows that you can make it? He's the one that's going to handle it for you. On my own, I can do nothing. With Christ, all things are possible. Amen. Why? Because I'm hooked to Him through love. And when you love someone, you want the best for them. You want anything that you can give them to be the best. You want them to have the peace, so you will do anything you can to help them with that peace. But God says, listen, John 15, 13, 14, and then I'm jumping to verse 17. Now listen to how this goes. Greater love has no one than this, that he laid down his life for his friends. When God's touch is upon you, whether it's to preach, whether it's to just express your feelings of the love that he has given you, whatever it is, when God's love is upon you, Jesus laid down his life for you. Therefore, you. Let's do it this way. Jesus died for me. He doesn't need me dying for him. He needs me living. You got it? I'll die soon enough. He needs me living. So does your family. Your family needs you. Your family wants you. Why? Because we love one another. Once you've been bit by love, folks, hang it up.
Amen.
That sweet thing on your arm, that sweet mama at home, that daddy that's been more gracious than you can imagine. It's family. And because of the love, there's always forgiveness. See, love supersedes judgment. Do you hear me? Love supersedes judgment. Jesus loves me. It is appointed to man once to die and then the judgment. But the scripture tells me that because I know Jesus, because I've said yes to Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of my life, the only judgment that I will see, and I will see judgment, but it's the judgment for the rewards that Jesus has for me and for all other Christians. That's the judgment, Christian, you're going through. Jesus took the guilt of our sin. Jesus paid the price. Jesus gave his blood for you. And he says, you will never see judgment because of my son. What great love that is. The love that is so powerful that you can't see judgment. He laid down his life for his friends. Listen to him. You are my friends if you do what I command. You ready for this in verse 17? This is my command. Love each other. See, all the commandments that God has ever issued from before time, he brought under one umbrella, the power of love. This is my command. This takes it all in. This is Jesus. Love each other. Where love is, Jesus is. And Jesus says, I love you. Therefore, I want you to love one another. It is through that love that Christ has given you that you can bring peace of mind, that you are able to get your life together to the point to where you express that love to someone else? Did you know you're important to God? Did you know that you're important to those around you? And God says, everything you do, do in love. For in love, there is peace. There's harmony in love. There's joy in love. There's heaven in love. And there's a Savior that loves you. Here's your good one. And He loves you just like you are. Any changing to be done to you, He says He'll do it from inside out. You will express it. Rule number two. Here I'm commanded to love, Brother Randy, and rule number two tells me I'm commanded to hate. Now listen to this. You are commanded to hate evil and cling to good. Romans 12, verse 9. Love must be sincere. Hate, this is how you express a sincere love. You hate the evil that is hurting your loved one. You hate the evil that is pulling them into the world. You hate the evil that is destroying so many from disease. Love must be sincere. So, in sincere love, hate what is evil and cling to what is good. Hang on to it. Hang on to the positive of a personality. Now, every one of us, we have a multi-personality disorder. Now, you all don't need to start shaking your head, no. I know the majority of everyone in this church, and yes, you do, have no idea which personality you're going to get from day to day. Have you noticed that about yourself? And you need to be praying about lying to yourself, too, on these things. But everybody, there's different personalities in you that you got to deal with on a daily basis. And God says, here's how I want you to deal with it. I want you to love anyway. But Lord, my husband's not so lovable today. I know, I've listened to him. But love him anyway. You see, that's a lesson that Jesus gives us. He loves us anyway. We're not always don't say the right thing for the Lord. But nowhere in Scripture will you ever find where He says, I didn't love you that day. You will never hear this statement from your Savior. Never. I don't love you anymore. You'll never hear it. Because there's nothing that can attack you, nothing that you can do that will pull you out of God's hand. Now, He may have to take your life. He may have to shut it down to keep you from doing more harm to people. But He'll love you through all of it. That's the Lord. That's His type of love. So I need to hate the evil that is doing so much destruction in our nation. And there's a lot going on. You can throw the blame anywhere you want to. But folks, it's evil. And it comes straight from the pits of hell. And the pits of hell is loaded with it. But I happen to know the one who created hell. Here's your good one, Christian. Or a person that's a non-believer. Hell was not created for the human being. Hell was not created for humans. Hell was created by God for Satan and his angels. So for human to go to hell, that human has to choose to go there. It's a choice. Sadly, so many are choosing hell. Well, I want to be with my friends. Well, your friends may be there, but you won't know it. It's a place of loneliness, destruction, pain continually. Those in hell are begging to die, and they can't even die. They beg for the rocks and the mountains, the scripture says, to cover them, but it doesn't happen. For they chose their eternal resting place. That's why you hate evil. For it is trickery that pulls the heart of man away from the heart of Christ. Rule number three. You are commanded to love beyond yourself or your self-interest or your family. Are you catching that? You are commanded to love beyond that. You're commanded to love the unlovable. You were one of them. You're commanded to love the stranger at the door. You're commanded by God to express His love to those whom you'd as soon not be around. I told you all, when God called me to preach, I thought that was going to be so great. You know, going into a church, everybody loving Jesus. And getting maybe be a pastor of a real large church. Maybe in Hawaii, Brother Randy.
You didn't pray hard enough.
I didn't pray hard enough on that. And remember what happened? I know all heaven was laughing, still are. God says, Larry, I'm going to send you to prison as a prison chaplain for 40 years of your ministry. Thank you, Lord. I was so looking forward to that. And during that training session, God had set for me with some of the hardest core criminals in the country. I realized something. Every one of them came from our communities, from the church pews. What happened? But they needed to hear a voice from their Savior. Says, it's not over, but it's still up to you. You got to make a choice. And if you think choosing evil is the right way to go, then pay attention to your past experiences of it. And you will find out through those past experiences, you always lose when you choose the evil. It never pays off. But God said, I want you to pay attention. Reach out to those that the world gives up on. I'll use you later in a church.
Every pastor I know will tell you that I do nothing but brag on my congregation because I love you, but I know the human nature. And each one of us have fallen many times in life, but we get back up and we hold on to each other. One more story I'll remind you of that I've told you in the past. I spent all those years as a prison chaplain. We were at a meeting somewhere. Fay was with me. And the question was asked, Fay. They asked me, said, well, Ms. Vance mind answering something? I said, I don't know, you don't talk to me. No, I said, ask her. And they asked her a simple question. All these years that Larry has been in the prison system, have you ever feared for his life? And here's her answer. First time I'd ever heard it. Blew my mind too. She said, you know, I never feared for his life all the time God had him in prison. I never feared for his life until he started pastoring a church. Man, my heart sunk. Then I realized Satan's trying to kill the church. How do you do that? Strike the shepherd, and the sheep will scatter. Strike the shepherd, the flock will scatter to the world. But I see it. 8,000 churches a year closing, it's close count, they say. Who knows? Why? It's an attack on the body of believers, trying to convince them. Here's the only thing they can convince you of. Jesus really doesn't love you that much. Your pastor's been lying to you all this time. The only hope that you have is in the world. Come out here. We love you. We'll have peace with you. We want the best for you. Yeah, they do. So follow us. Don't. Listen to the voice of Christ. Listen to his truth. But you got to love each other. And you got to love beyond self to touch the lives. You know what I always looked at with me when I dealt with the rapists and the murderers? If I can sow the seed for this one bad guy, maybe I'll save the life of the innocent one out there that he doesn't kill when he gets out. Was I successful? I'll never know. Never know till I get to heaven. But that's the desire. And the desire was to present the gospel and let the Lord do the rest. Listen to rule number 4, the final rule. Let me read that scripture first, Romans 12:10. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Honor one another above yourself. Rule number 4, you are commanded to be zealous in God's service. Christians, you need to get a little bit excited. I mean, my goodness, you have the power of God at your disposal. You have the peace that surpasses all understanding. Get excited over it. I got Jesus And I'm excited. Zealous? Yes, be a fan. You know how these basketball fans are in Kentucky? They're half nuts. You know exactly how that goes. Well, we need a few more Christians that are half nuts over Jesus and excited about that name. I mean, when Jesus tells you, throughout eternity, I will give you rest. Don't you think just a few years here on planet Earth, dealing with the foolishness of man, that you can handle? You're going to die pretty soon anyway. So get excited over the blessings that God has given you right here. You know what those blessings are? They're sitting around you. They're the family that's out there. They're the individual that's been waiting for somebody to tell them the story of hope. That's being zealous. Let me tell you, you don't have to go to hell. I think that's something to get excited over. Let me tell you, you who have said yes to Jesus will never see judgment. The only judgment that will come your way will be the judgment of rewards that you're going to get because you said yes. I can handle that. But Jesus says, pay attention in your actions before your fellow man, because they are. I always like to tell the teenagers, you got to be careful how you act, because those below you, those kids watching every move you make and listening to every word, you're training them. How are you training them? Romans 12, 11 through 13. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor, serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction. Okay, it hurts. Yes, it does. I'm with you on that. Be patient. Maybe it won't hurt so bad tomorrow, but maybe it will. But remember, being joyful in hope is that you're hoping for a better time. Why are you hoping for it? Because Jesus told you to hope. He is your hope. Promise of today, the hope for tomorrow. He's all you're going to need. But you need to get excited over him. You need to understand that nothing that touches you has authority over you except for Jesus Christ, your Creator. Never be lacking in zeal, but keeping your spiritual fervor, serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Mamas, daddies, every night, every day, when their picture of them comes to your mind, when their voice or their just a remembrance of them, pray for them. Lord, please bless them. Watch over them, Lord. They're young. They don't know any better. They could have a case of the stupid father and not ask for forgiveness. Lord, it's an intercessory prayer. Please intercede. Touch their life with that joy. Share with God's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. Be hospitable. Friendly. Enjoying one another's company. That's what we do in fellowship at our church. Everybody gets together to fellowship. we enjoy each other's company. And we get together. For I can promise you this. Where you and I as Christians are, we're in the company of Jesus. Knowing that we're in Jesus' company, that meaning people who may not know Jesus, they're there. They're going to get a touch from him. He got a powerful touch. He's got a powerful love. And that love's for you. And your pastor loves you. Let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, for your blessings, for your joy, for your truth. It's your message, Father. Touch each of us to take that message to the lost and the dying. Those who see no hope, help us to share your hope for their life. They're hurting and breaking, Father. I pray that you will touch them as only you can. And I ask your blessing in Jesus' name. Amen.